Hello, welcome once again to the Candid Cast. We are embarking on a new series today, which I title Zero to Hero series. In this series, we'll be featuring Nigerians who have gone from zero to hero and the step. They will help us to understand the steps that they took to get there and to encourage young people that are upcoming that it is possible to get there, living a life of honesty and integrity, which is what the Candid Cast is all about. We are privileged today to have in the studio the founder of Lapo Microfinance Company Limited. Lapo is Lift Above Poverty Organization, and that's our wish, that every Nigerian will be lifted above poverty as you listen to him. He's a great man, a man that is humble, full of integrity. He's a family man, and he has written two books that I have made reference to severally in my videos. He has My Lapo Journey, which spells the history of Lapo and how it came about, starting from a very humble beginning to where it is today. He has also written 12 Commandments for Business Owners, which is these books are available in all Super Saver stores and several other bookshops nationwide, and is available also on Amazon. My Lapo Journey by Dr. Godwin Ehigamoso, and 12 Commandments for Business Owners by Dr. Godwin Ehigamoso. Join me to make welcome Dr. Godwin Ehigamoso. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be on this program. Thank you.
It's a privilege to have you in the studio and for Nigerians to learn from your very deep wealth of experience in several areas. From my several interactions with you, I've seen you are a very focused person, passionate about Nigeria, not because some people will say, oh, because Nigeria has favored you, but this has been from your youth. What is actually the reason for your trust in Nigeria?
Well, the first thing is that very early in my life, I got to understand so many things about our nation, about the actors, those the political leaders and others, largely because I was introduced into reading a newspaper very early. And in the process, I have emotionally invested in this country. When I was in university, I led a student organization that was so much interested in making life better for us. And of course, also anticipating and working towards ensuring the emergence of a stronger Nigeria. I'm talking of in the 70s and in the 80s. And of course, in all my working life, I have equally acted in that manner to make life better. So I have so much invested in this country. One obviously would expect that after so many years of that commitment to this nation, and perhaps what it is today, I should have been disillusioned, but I refuse to be.
Thank you, sir. You mentioned two things that I have. Now, the culture of reading helped you. So, and today you hear people say, we are a generation that hates to read. Should anybody really hate to read? Is there anything to lose when you read?
No, there is no. There is this saying that readers are leaders. Because when you read, you actually go into the mind and the life of the authors.
Okay.
And in the process, you accumulated so much wisdom. You accumulated so much knowledge. And so that makes it. I think the challenge is this. When it comes to the issue of, do I call it entertainment? The easiest, obviously, is visual. So it's easier for you to sit behind before a television and you watch a movie. And of course, the next is music. You listen. And reading could also be a bit very challenging. And it is for that reason that people do not, you know, commit to reading. But as I will say, very early, commit to reading, and you will surely succeed.
And it has helped you.
Yeah.
So far, and it has helped several people. The statement that readers are leaders cannot be faulted.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that you could have been disillusioned. Mm. I observed that several people that started the cooperative movement with you faded off.
Yes.
When we hear microfinance today, you scarcely see anyone that was founded in the 90s that is still standing, except Lapo. What's the secret? Why were you not discouraged when every other person was?
Well, I first of all, still talking about Nigeria, let me add to the fact that one of the reasons why I strongly believe in Nigeria is philosophically, the darkest moment we eventually will end in a dawn that will bring a bright sun. Wow. I see that we have a future in this country. Coming to why we have survived, I think it's a combination of many factors. We were committed to a number of, you know, virtues, cultivated them. For instance, as you noted, that of integrity. We strongly believe that if you cut corners, that is more like a 100-meter dash. You probably get some instant benefit. But when you want to have a resources over time, it is a marathon. And it is only integrity that can take you so far. But in addition to issue of diligence, we were focused. There was those mission, commitment. For us, at the beginning, even now, was not about money. It was about ensuring impact. And so those things were things that, you know, ensure that we stay focused and we are still there.
Thank you very much, sir. In the first book, My Lapo Journey, you mentioned you're going to Germany to get a visa to Bangladesh. And friends making jest of you that it was absolute foolishness to enter Germany and come out, visit Bangladesh and return to Nigeria, when you could easily have escaped. Like people are doing, it's fashionable to say we are running away from Nigeria.
Yes.
If you were to take that decision today, will it still be the same?
That was in 1991, about 33 years ago.
Okay.
And indeed, yes, people felt, and of course, people were already living, especially in the Edo Delta Axis.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did not, and it never really come across my mind to do, was because I was focused on what I have started. Lapo obviously was very small at that point, but I saw that there was going to be a great future for it. So if today, if I were to relieve that situation, I would do the same thing, that is, return to this country. This is my counsel to young people. If you are talented, and you know you are, and you have a focus, and you desire to eventually make impact on humanity, even in this country, I think that this is not the right time to leave Nigeria. It could be dark, but there are opportunities. And I see a bright sun rising tomorrow.
Thank you very much. So the key factors are focus. You knew what you wanted. Reading.
Yeah.
There was a desire to learn. There was a determination to get to the end.
Yeah.
That thing you have seen in your mind's eyes, you want to get there. And the same thing will work today for any young person. Thank you. That's quite, I'm talking about what I have picked from what you said, and I believe our viewers are also picking some lessons from it. Then I see that one of the things people look at in trying to run away is the value of our currency. Well, in my journey around Africa, I see that almost all the African countries have stronger currency than Nigeria, but they don't have richer populace. But can we equate strong currency to strong economy and strong wealth for the people?
I think it's true. And I want to really put that. The first time I went to Kenya was 1996.
Okay.
And their Kenya shillings were three Kenya shillings to one naira.
Okay.
Recently, I was in Kenya, and it is 12 naira to one Kenya shillings. So it is also important to note that strong currency is an indicator of a strong economy.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it does not tell the whole story, especially when it comes to the quality and the standard of living of the citizen. I think the key factor for me are opportunities and also enterprise.
Okay.
I have visited a large number of countries in Africa, and I have not seen any country in Africa where the citizens are as enterprising as Nigerians.
Yeah.
And so when you have enterprising people, and of course you had some opportunity, that makes the difference when it comes to the standard of living of the individual. Even within a particular country, you could also have a situation where certain group of people tend to be more enterprising.
Okay.
People tend to be more, in fact, diligent. And of course, when it comes to the issue of prudence and all that, they tend to really have a better standard of living. Or, on the other hand, you could see that they have a lower incidence or rate of poverty.
Okay. So the secret, what is building us as Nigerians, is our entrepreneurial skill or abilities, and that drive, the can-do spirit of a Nigerian.
Yes.
I watched a video recently from a Kenyan that was saying she wished Nigeria would colonize Africa if there was another that the drive you find in a Nigerian.
Mm.
She wished every African will imbibe it. That's what people envy about Nigeria. Thank you so much. Let's look at the fact that today you are one of the foremost Nigerian entrepreneurs. You started off as a civil servant. And in those days, civil service had no way of making anybody rich. So people were poor. What informed your using part of your little salary that was not even enough to start an organization aimed at bringing people out of poverty?
Let's look at this with my mindset and what was the clear motivation for me to begin we call today LAPO. If you go back a little, when I was in university, I was involved in leading a student organization that was committed to enhancing the condition of living of people at the bottom end of the society. We call them whatever you call them, whether masses or poor people.
Grassroots.
Of course, that was clear. And so by the time I was stepping out of the university, I had a very clear ideological clarity on what meaningful development should be. And that is a change, positive, significant change in the condition of living of the larger segment of the citizen at the bottom of that society. And so when it got to a point that I needed to act, to act, of course, to translate some of those belief perspective into action, no matter what sacrifice I needed to make, and I made them, inclusive of the fact that I took the little resources, 300 naira, I remember, and gave 100 naira each to three members in my church in Ogwashuku, which is now in Delta State.
Yeah.
And so that was once, a piece of the sacrifice. There were others in terms of commitment, like I would say, almost working like a slave to ensure that the vision was realized.
Thank you, sir. What you mentioned as your philosophy looks like the philosophy of most labor union leaders.
Yeah.
People, most politicians, when they campaign, they tell you because we have the masses in mind, want to come and serve.
Mm.
But when they get there, you find that nobody will agree. Ask any Nigerian in the street whether these people serve them. But in your own case, the focus just refused to change.
Yes.
What's the secret?
Well, my belief about the need to empower the ordinary people was not motivated by any benefit or a sort of, you know, benefit that will come. For me, it was a deep-seated conviction that if you want to see a better society, then attention must be on this type of people, addressing what their challenges are. About 35 years ago, when this happened to me, I realized that there were three basic challenges that the people were facing. The first was the fact that of material deprivation and never having access to institutional credit, like the people at the top, they have access to from commercial bank. These ordinary people never had that. And I strongly believe that and a positive change will take place in their life if credit on affordable condition is added to their, you know, their labor or their skill, you know. And so I did that. The second thing, I strongly believe that the issue of poor health was also, and there was the need to intervene in this area. One thing was very particular, especially the child care. I realized that in most rural communities at that time, when a child is sick and it got to a point where the people will now look at the child and say, let's take this child to the hospital. Believe me, that child is clinically dead. So we came up with what we call health awareness to begin to educate these women on what they need to quickly do to ensure that the survival of their children. Lastly, for me, was the issue of social exclusion. I'm not talking about financial exclusion now.
Yeah.
Social exclusion. Realizing that the poor people tend to be drawn back. They tend to have low self-esteem. And that that affects their capacity to realize their potential. And so we came up with three programs. Use credit to address material deprivation. Give them money to do their business. Use health awareness to create awareness on health issues, theirs and their children's health. And of course, come up with very innovative social development program to address the whole issue of poverty, to address the poverty of the mind, and of course, to address the issue of gender inequity.
Thank you very much. This has been very inspirational and educative for me as a person, and I expect the same for our audience. This is where we draw the curtain on today's episode of the Candid Cast. I'll say thank you for staying tuned. God bless you until we come your way again next week.
Thanks for listening.
Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead.
We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.